I think economics still has a lot to offer. I think economics is practiced by most of the profession in the public eye is full of hubris and should be much more full of humility.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and we're very happy to be talking with Russ Roberts. He's a research fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. Russ, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick.
We wanted to talk with you about Econ Talk. When did it start, and what are you trying to do with Econ Talk?
So it comes out every week pretty reliably, rain or shine, holiday or no holiday. 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, so a lot of people move to California so they get a little earlier, 3:30, or Hawaii, or Japan.
Yeah, sure.
But it is out at 6:30 every Monday, is pretty much reliably.
You have, over the years, you have, interviewed just a vast, a vast assortment of people, both a lot of, big names in the free market movement, but then also ranging wider to people like Dan Pink, an author who is a former Al Gore speechwriter.
Joe Stiglitz.
Yep. Okay. Stiglitz. Not a big fan favorite these days among free market people. Robert Frank also.
Yep.
Joe Nocera, the New York Times columnist. Since the financial crisis, you've stressed in a lot of your speaking engagements, a lot of your writing, the lack of knowledge within the kind of economics field of really understanding why things happen the way they do. If your starting point, which is very Hayekian, you're focusing on the limits of our knowledge, do you just kind of fall down a rabbit hole of really not being able to make any kind of meaningful declarative sentence?
It is true that over the last few years, I've become much more Hayekian in terms of what I think we know and don't know. His Nobel Prize address, which I always recommend, is The Pretense of Knowledge, which is really an attack on macroeconomics, pretense of understanding we can steer the economy, understand how it works in some level of detail. And his view was we can't, not just that we haven't yet, we can't. It's not feasible. And as a result, what we're left with is some general principles. I think those general principles are pretty timeless. So I haven't rejected those. I think economics still has a lot to offer. I think economics is practiced by most of the profession in the public eye is full of hubris and should be much more full of humility.
Well, talk a little bit about that. You mentioned that you've interviewed Joseph Stiglitz, a big proponent of stimulus spending.
Yep.
We could have done so much more. We should have done so much more. Where does he get it wrong, or how do you know that he's wrong if you're kind of starting from the fact that we really don't know all that much?
Well, he could be right. He could certainly provide some evidence that he's right, some fancy statistical analysis, and the people who think he's wrong can provide some fancy statistical analysis. Since they can't convince each other of either viewpoint, it suggests to me that that statistical analysis is not so scientific.
Right.
Probably falls into the realm of what Hayek called scientism, fake science, faux science. I think it's very hard to argue in logical terms that spending money unwisely is the way to get wealthy. It's hard to understand the
and
logic
you, you
of
you would argue that's what stimulus spending was.
And I would certainly say that if I'm going to justify spending $820 billion of other people's money, I would have a pretty good case that it's a good idea. I wouldn't take it as a priori true, which is what, unfortunately, though, I think a lot of macroeconomists do.
And if not, I mean, that's fiscal stimulus, where the government is kind of borrowing money to spend it, but then there's also monetarist stimulus, which is
QE17.
The Fed should be, we haven't had enough QEs.
Yeah.
Do you think that that suffers from the same kind of presumption of truth, and that the only way we know we didn't spend enough is if the economy didn't go the way we wanted it to?
Yeah, and I think the mainstream view is, boy, if the Fed hadn't saved Bear Stearns creditors, if it hadn't injected the $700 billion of TARP, we hadn't had all these unprecedented interventions, paying interest on reserves. These were all crucial to save the economy. We were on the edge of a cliff.
Right.
And you say, how do you know? Wouldn't you want to have some evidence for that, for doing these unprecedented violations of the rule of law, for having the Fed, really an unaccountable institution, start doing these kind of breaking of contracts? And they don't have any evidence for that. It's just sort of presumed, well, of course they saved the world. We don't know. So I'm very wary of those kind of interventions because I see the other costs, which is the degradation of contracts, the inability to plan,
And it's a lazy economy. It's a lackluster economy, too.
The default hypothesis, it didn't work. Right. I'm willing to accept the possibility that it would have been worse, but if you're going to make that claim, you got to give me some evidence other than just saying so.
You have left George Mason University, where you're a longtime professor of economics, and you moved on to the Hoover Institution. Talk a little bit about what kind of motivated that change and also what the project at Hoover that you're going to be doing is.
So I'm still keeping an affiliation with George Mason, but I'm moving to the Hoover Institution at Stanford full time. And I won't be teaching in the classroom as I have for quite a while, which is a big change for me. And that'll free up some time to do some new stuff. I'm doing a lot of the old stuff. So we're doing Econ Talk, Cafe Hayek, hope to write some books. But I've started and some rap videos as well.
Yeah, sure.
I hope.
So what are you doing with Hoover, though? What's
the project? The new project is called The Numbers Game. I'm going to be interviewing economists talking about charts and data. So what you'll hear is the audio of that conversation. What you'll see are the charts and the data animated and annotated in ways to help you understand it better.
When will that be coming online?
First one's out is a pilot. You can find it at YouTube by Googling Russ Roberts Numbers Game. Second one should be out soon. If not, I don't know when this will air, but it'll be out soon. And there'll be more.
Yeah. All right. Well, Russ Roberts, economist, plain talker, and bringer of light and wisdom. Thank you so much.
You're kind, Nick. Appreciate it.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.